right, everybody, we're back with another episode of the Evil Empire Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Rob Macarello, on this September 29th, 2022, 9/29. It seems so fitting to have nines in the topic and the date because Aaron Judge has tied the American League record with 61 home runs and still several games to play before he wraps up the regular season with the now AL East champion New York Yankees. Please make sure you're following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. On Twitter, we are E-Empire Sports. Otherwise, Evil Empire Sports, as well as our website, evilempiresports.com. All prior episodes, merchandise, and fun stuff like that will always be there. The AL East champion Yankees, they have won the division only three times, I believe, in the last maybe decade or so, despite several trips to the playoffs. A team earlier in the year that looked like they were destined to be the number one overall seed in the AL, if not all of MLB, for a period of time in August, looked like they may squander their entire divisional lead. But with all of that said, now finish the season, as Aaron Boone says, the best team in the best division in baseball. And what else can you say? That really sums it up well. A team that had notable flaws coming into the season, starting off in spring training slow because of the league lockout. We're starting the playoffs a little bit late this year as a result of that. And all they did was silence the naysayers. And I have been as critical of this team as I could for a team that, like I said, has ranged from being among the best in baseball to, at times, literally among the worst teams in baseball. But they get to the ultimate accomplishment, which is they're going to avoid the dreaded wild card round where anything could happen. It's baseball, Susan. You can lose in one game quite easily. And they're going to skip right ahead to that next round thanks to a bye. Allows them to rest some players. Quite notably among them is Aaron Judge, because as he chases Roger Maris's record of 61 home runs 61 years later, and Roger Maris wore number 9, retired in Monument Park at Yankee Stadium. Aaron Judge, number 99. A lot of symmetry to these things. Math is always funny with that. But it would be good to get him off his feet for a few days and get him prepared for the playoffs. If it's something where he can keep up this momentum, especially now that he's hit home run number 61 in Toronto, in a perfect world, he'll even surpass that number. So again, we don't have to keep bussing poor Aaron Judge mom, Patty, from stadium to stadium. And Roger Maris Jr.'s got to keep going around. I do like it. It really made for a nice visual when, you know, on the verge of tears even, Roger Maris gives Aaron Judge's mom a hug. I mean, it's literally a passing of the torch, and it's one of the best things about baseball, in my opinion. Especially as a fan of the Yankees, where you hear these names that, if you're a sports fan, or really Americana, when you talk about names like Babe Ruth, and Lou Gehrig, and Joe DiMaggio, and Mickey Mantle, and things like that. These are real people. We saw them at Old Timers Day. Our parents and grandparents would watch them play. It connects the fabric of history. You know, you're not going to see, you know, Martin Van Buren going out and outside of going to museums and things like that. But it's just a really neat way to connect the ages. And 1961, 61 years ago, doesn't seem like all that long ago, but, you know, for those that were watching it on TV, those games still played in black and white and things like that. So just a really neat moment. But now that Aaron Judge has at least tied that AL record, again, give him some opportunity maybe to surpass it. If it keeps him sharp headed into the postseason, then that's what we do. But that's my primary focus. And we're going to circle back with that with some questions that we got, notably about this home run quote-unquote record. But I don't want us to lose sight of the ultimate prize. We've said it time and time again. It's all about winning. Would it be great if Aaron Judge hit 75 home runs? Would it be great if he won the AL MVP or won a triple crown or all of the above? Sure would. Would it be great if Nestor Cortez wins a Cy Young Award? Great. All the guys they sent to the All-Star game, four guys earlier this season. Great. But what is it really about? I would trade any MVP award that Aaron Judge could have or would ever win with the Yankees for them to win a world championship every year that he's here. And need I remind you for the 100th time that Aaron Judge is not guaranteed to be a Yankee beyond this year. There are players that come and go. We rooted for the Yankees before Aaron Judge. We'll root for the Yankees after Aaron Judge, whether he's gone after a lengthy, second part of his career with this team, or if he departs in free agency November, December, January this year. That's who we are. It takes a little bit of reminding of that because we've been a little bit overhyped, and I think some of that was the Yankees and the typical media, some folks doing some couching and the hyperbole, and this is all time, and this is the history in the making, and we've got to have Michael Kay with his 7-minute introduction for every at-bat. For the people that are joining us from all over the country, I'm Michael Kay. People aren't tuning in from all over the country. It's the Yes Network. If you got it because you're a Yankee fan, you're already watching it. It's about winning a championship. And we root for laundry, like Jerry Seinfeld famously says. If we can get some of the other nice milestones along the way, certainly if it was in a loss season where if you're an Angels fan, you're rooting for Mike Trout to do the next impossible thing or have ridiculous numbers in a historical context. Shohei Ohtani winning an MVP award. Yeah, you need those as consolation prizes. And this is not to say I root against Aaron Judge by any stretch. Quite the contrary. But I want the team to win. And that's really what I'm hoping for. Everything else is just maybe not a footnote because 61 home runs doesn't happen very often. I want that to be part of the context, the side dish to a really good steak dinner, which would be winning a world championship. Let's at least win the pennant for the Yankees that couldn't get past that hurdle since they were last in the World Series and won it in 2009. The Yankees in a position right now where we can all collectively exhale, and whether it was people in the bullpen and not having that consistency, even the previously lights out and untouchable Clay Holmes going through his hiccups, Jonathan Loaisiga going through his hiccups, Clark Schmidt, Aroldis Chapman, the list goes on and on. Very few absolute stalwarts in that bullpen. People that said, Gerrit Cole, not your number one. Nestor Cortez, is it an innings thing? Health with Severino, health with German, all of these different things. Right now, it's an opportunity to say the criticism and the worry can be put to rest because the team was able to accomplish what they had to, and that is own their division. They spent the last couple of weeks getting right. And if they had to do it against a Rays team that doesn't have a whole lot of weapons, but is still a playoff team, or a Red Sox team that doesn't have a whole lot of weapons and will likely finish in last place, never got out of that basement, never escaped the cellar, good for them. The Yankees don't have to apologize for beating any of those teams. Because all we've asked for since essentially the All-Star break was for the team to play a really strong brand of baseball, to play consistently, and play to the level that we knew that they were capable of. Now, did that mean the pace of a 125-win team? Unsustainable, especially for a team that, if you're looking at how their lineup stacks up against other teams that you would maybe rank more favorably, the Dodgers or the Braves, good examples of that. You don't expect those things. But they've shown you that when they play at their best, they're capable of beating anyone. And that is all you could hope for. You don't need world beaters on paper. You need people that could put that result out there at the right time. The Braves are a great example of that last year, where it didn't look like they had the best lineup going into the postseason, but they just won. They just won. That's what matters. So the Yankees, you can gloss over all the other nonsense for now. There will be a time to think about where their holes and weaknesses are and how that will stack up in the playoffs, what the playoff pitching rotation will look like. Will they get guys like Andrew Benintendi back or Matt Carpenter back, unlikely as it may be? Will Oswaldo Cabrera, will he continue to play all over the field? Exceptional defense. His bat has been picking up. He's got an OPS, I believe, in the quadruple digits. So over 1,000 since, say, September or so. He's already played in over 33 games, was it? So he's been up for a while. And he's got a high number of plate appearances now where you can see him start to get more comfortable and he's contributing to this team meaningfully. And I don't think it's a tough question that he should be on the postseason roster. Peraza has been hitting, but they don't give him the opportunity to. So I think he's just going to get squeezed out. This team wants to go with the veterans in Josh Donaldson and IKF. But again, we're going to get into all of that. The soup du jour is this is a division-winning team that avoids the nonsense and all of the manufactured excitement of a one-game playoff or a play-in game in that wild card round, and they could play a real playoff series. Home game at Yankee Stadium, likely the second-best record in the AL, and by all indications, on a collision course again with the Astros. So the Yankees will have an opportunity to exercise some demons and jointly reinvigorate and hopefully put their latest punch into that rivalry with the Astros, who eliminated them in a very heated historical matchup. Whether that was aided by cheating or not, again, we'll leave for another day. But the Yankees end this season anyway. It doesn't even matter what happens against the Orioles, locked up with a divisional crown. Congratulations to them. Selfishly, they are 1-0 in winning the AL East since the launch of the Evil Empire Sports podcast. So you're welcome. You can contact us at mailbag@evilempiresports.com to arrange any payment that you'd like, New York Yankees, and I will be happy to be retained by you for future seasons, and we can just continue to do this over and over. I talk about you, you win pennants and divisions, everybody has a great time. Speaking of things that were submitted to the mailbag, we're going to start off today's episode after that little opening segment with just questions from the people. And one of the questions that was asked to me by Mike was, is Aaron Boone the manager that's going to lead this team far in the postseason? Well, I'll tell you what, Aaron Boone is one of those managers that it doesn't look like he's going to light the world on fire with the strategic decisions. I'm not going to harp on bullpen calls because when they go well, no one even thinks about it. And when they don't go well, it looks rather blundersome. I can't blame him for that because the bullpen has been inconsistent. Clay Holmes, lights out. All-star closer, first half of the season. You roll him out there and all of a sudden the wheels fall off. And maybe some of that's knocking off rust after injury and being on the IL. Who knows? Aroldis Chapman, yeah, he needs GPS to find the strike zone. Or Angel Hernandez behind home plate. Either way, those are things that he can't use in the playoffs. As long as Angel Hernandez continues to sue MLB, he's not going to get those big-time assignments. You know, other curious things that make my eyebrow go up. We talked about him pinch hitting for Jose Trevino, who has been a very clutch hitter. In fact, I think he's batting closer to 200 in standalone opportunities, but when there's runner on base or runners on base, that number goes up to, I don't know, the high 200s, and he's slugging into the 400 or 500s. A clutch guy. And he's been that way all year long. That's why he's been an all-star. and for Aaron Boone to pinch hit for him a couple of times and really bury him in those spots is, to me, a lack of feel. Unless you're putting Aaron Judge up there to hit for him, there's really no opportunity where you say, we're going to take the bat out of the hands of our all-star catcher who just has a knack for driving in those runs. It is a skill. All those years talking about A-Rod is in clutch and he chokes in the playoffs. You're talking about one of the best baseball players ever who had to spend many years dealing with those failures. Joe Torre was pinch hitting for him in the playoffs with Raul Ibanez, who did hit pinch hit walk-off home runs, and I was there to watch it. So you want to talk about a manager that knew the feel of the game and knew the feel of his players. We're not going to put Aaron Boone on Joe Torre's level anytime soon. But we have seen him make adjustments, and we've seen him do it late in the regular season, so we don't have to worry about him experimenting in the playoffs where it's not just the game on the line, it's the whole season on the line. You have to give him credit where credit is due, because he's a manager that's had them take down the division and look at times like they're the best team in baseball. And whether the Yankees do that because of him or in spite of him is something that we've debated many times on this podcast. The only thing that I'll highlight, and this was something that was quite juxtaposed, and it gets to another question that I was getting into with a few people on Twitter, where the Yankees lost a game in Toronto in the 10th inning. Earlier, the automatic runner or whoever it was on second base, and the Blue Jays had an opportunity to walk Aaron Judge, and they did, flat out. The Blue Jays get out of the inning. Then you fast forward to the bottom of the 10th, similar situation where there's a runner on base and there's obviously first base is open at that point in time. As David Cone would say, third base is open too. So you really have two opportunities to walk people or at least pitch around them if you had to. And Aaron Boone elects to have the Yankees pitch to Vlad Guerrero Jr., who promptly hits a walk-off hit. And his rationale was, well, you know, both matchups, because who was it? Alejandro Kirk, the pudgy yet very proficient batting catcher for the Blue Jays, was on deck. And he said, it's basically like pick your poison. Now, I'll debate a few things. Number one, it's not pick your poison because Vlad Guerrero Jr. is basically an MVP at only 23 years old. So that's not the player that I would want to have beat me. And you could have walked Kirk just the same. So an interim manager who recognizes you don't let the best player on the other team beat you. And all of Twitter and all of the media and all of the other so-called experts who seemingly knew that, but Aaron Boone didn't. Those are the things that I think in a tight situation where the team is not necessarily playing at its best, or at least in the playoffs could be stifled by a really good pitcher and a good bullpen that you're playing against, those managerial decisions will loom quite large. Something that I've talked about in several episodes. When the team plays well, it doesn't even matter. You don't even need a coach. You're up by 10 runs. Does it matter who you bring in the bullpen? The lineup is already working out because they're scoring. It's great. It's baseball. It's cruise control. It's like Tesla autopilot if it actually worked and didn't run people over. But in extra innings, especially with the Manfred rule, which I don't believe applies in the playoffs, but if it does, those are the sort of situations where you've really got to push the right buttons. And I'm sure there's more complicated things that go into it than do you walk the best hitter on the other team with an open base and an out or two? But in those situations, I'd like to see Aaron Boone have a little bit more traditional success. Do I have faith in him? I'll answer it this way. I have more faith in the ability for the team to execute and hopefully, likely, whatever adverb you want to use, put the Yankees in a position where there's not going to be so much weight on those decisions. If they come up, it's a coin flip. I'm not going to bank on him versus some of the other managers that'll be in this postseason to do what's right rather than that's a head scratcher. That seems like it's right out of the Brian Cashman book of we're going to do something a little bit unconventional because we think we've got everybody else outsmarted. So that's one thing that looks a little bit funky to me. But again, AL East champs in the playoffs, play a division, no funky play-in game. Got to be happy. Got to think positive. The team is in a good spot as a result of that accomplishment. Brings me back to that other point I said that folks were arguing about all over Twitter. And Jared Carrabas was joking. Aaron Judge will never hit a home run again. Aaron Judge had 14 walks or 10 walks since September 10th. That number's in my head from the middle of the month because pitchers didn't want to pitch to him. Are the Blue Jays pitchers cowards because they keep walking him? Guys, I assure you, it may be a blip on the radar in the back of a mind of one of these pitchers to say, I don't want to be on the wrong side of the history books to give up Aaron Judge's 61st home run. But there are likely few people that can say, who is the pitcher that gave up that 61st home run to Aaron Judge or to Roger Maris or the 72nd or 73rd to Barry Bonds or the shot heard around the world by Bobby Thompson? I mean, this is baseball nerd stuff that I'll tell you, I don't know. But those pitchers aren't thinking about that. They're thinking about, how am I going to win the game? The Blue Jays are in a playoff race. They're trying to make the postseason with a young team that, this season anyway, got their manager fired because of the expectations that they had and the money that this team spent to complement a young lineup with a good pitching staff and try to make a postseason run. They don't care about Aaron Judge. They don't care about that record. So is it cowardly to walk Aaron Judge when you're trying to win a game to put yourself in a playoff position? Hell no. Not at all. You're thinking like a fan. I like that. Everybody wants to see Aaron Judge hit. And there are a smattering of boos, even in Toronto, where for the most part, it's the whole country against the visiting team. I'm sure those guys want to see history, but they don't want to see it at the expense of their team getting, you know, another precious loss that could jeopardize their ability to make the postseason. They want to win. Go back to my earlier point. As a Yankee fan, 61, 70 home runs, triple crown, MVP. Okay, sure. But I want to win. I want to win. Aaron Judge winning an award doesn't do anything for me. He has incentives in how he might get paid and the sponsorship he may get and the contract he may get with his suitors in the offseason. That doesn't help me. As a fan, my team winning brings me that satisfaction. I enjoy watching the Yankees raise the commissioner's trophy at the end of the season, hang another banner, and expand their lead in professional sports as one of the most successful franchises in competition, period. So it's not cowardly to understand that Gleyber Torres, before he's gone on his hot streak, or Anthony Rizzo coming back from epidural headaches, or whoever else they wanted to bat around Aaron Judge and quote-unquote protect him, wasn't getting the job done. You want me to put Aaron Judge on base? I'll do it four times a game. And he has. He walked four times in a game earlier this week for the first time since 2017. That's not cowardice. That's just understanding what the Yankees have to throw out there. And when the guys in the lineup around him prove that they are capable major leaguers, they don't have to hit like all-stars. But I sure love starting off every inning with a man on first base. Timeless baseball adage. It begins with a walk. You want to put Judge on? That's great. He's going to score runs. And then the rest of the team is going to have to do their job to punish people. But you can't blame the other team for saying, I'm not going to let this guy hit home runs. He's hit 60 of them. He's driven in 120-something runs. It's the same reason why you don't tell him the pitch you're going to throw. Oh, that's cowardly. You're going to try to deceive him and strike him out? Yes. Yes, they don't want to give up records. They don't care about you. They care about wins. So it's not cowardly. It's not cheating. It's just playing to win the game. I wouldn't give Judge anything to hit. And he's got a great eye. So at times you're going to have to pick your spots to challenge him. But tease out that same logic. Giancarlo Stanton, the way he's hitting right now, he should never see a fastball, period. I would throw him 100 breaking balls off the plate and let him show me that he's got his confidence and his eye back And he's not just trying to hit any pitch. He's only trying to hit his pitch. That's what I would do as an opponent. It's not cowardly. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with winning the game. So do I expect to see more of that? Well, again, in the postseason, I'm sure, depending on where Aaron Judge hits in the lineup, he'll likely be hitting leadoff just because it's going to get him the extra at-bats across the series. You know, he's shown his ability to take good pitches and a fantastic command of the strike zone. He's even stolen close to 20 bases. So he's the complete package. Is he the leadoff hitter that you would have designed in a lab in 1985? No. But for right now, he's the best hitter on the team, and that's where he's going to hit. You could expect more of the same. And Aaron Judge understands it. I don't need to hit any pitch. I'm going to hit my pitch. When I get my pitch, I'm going to do damage with it. That's the perfect mentality to approach it. Speaking about home runs, a question that we got from Stevie P, Steven Stanford. Now that Aaron Judge has hit 61 home runs, do I consider that to be the home run record? I'm using air quotes on that. Is, as in, not just the American League home run record. Is that the home run record? That's insinuating Bonds, who's, you know, hitting 72, 73 home runs, whatever the number is, or Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa hitting 70 and 66 home runs. And, you know, these numbers greater than 62 or 61 are tainted because those National League players all either admitted to using steroids, or in the case of Barry Bonds anyway, have a lot of evidence and insinuation that they cheated. Well, I kind of alluded to Steve when he sent this question over, and I said it's a great one, that he probably wasn't going to expect what I was going to say. But I'm going to start off with what Roger Maris Jr. was just saying when he was interviewed on Successive Nights about this, that he feels that his father's 61, because it was done clean and it was done in an era where, you know, anabolic steroids and those sorts of things weren't proliferated across baseball players in the early 60s, that is the record that should be marked as official by Major League Baseball, and the other accomplishments should be stricken from the record books. Well, here's my answer. Aaron Judge's record isn't the home run record for Major League Baseball, because I watched Sammy Sosa hit more. I watched Mark McGwire hit more. I watched Barry Bonds hit more. Across a 162-game season, playing in the major leagues, playing under major league rules, and by and large, following those rules. Even if, and again, McGwire's admittance to this and Sammy Sosa turning into a vampire, whatever his, you know, Dracula-like admission to it, or Barry Bonds just sort of avoiding the topic and no one pressing him on it, those guys were playing under the rules of the day. And is it likely that they use steroids? Sure. And they're not the only players that did it, but they hit more home runs than anybody else. So if you juiced every player on every team, and at one point they were saying, you know, a third of the league is using steroids, 40% of the league is using steroids, whatever that number is, in their era, they hit more than other people. If you want to tell me that the pitchers were clean and not using steroids themselves, and it was just the batters, you're naive. Roger Clemens has been associated with it. Randy Johnson's been associated with it. And there's a lot more players that we may not have any idea about that could have been using it as well. I have to assume if the league was not testing for it and it was not banned outright, and you have millions of dollars on the line, tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars on the line in salary, in sponsorships, in resurrecting baseball from a period of mostly apathy after that 1994 lockout where the World Series was lost and the public faith in the sport was lost and waning, that any player would take any opportunity and advantage to get to the top of the sport. So until you can provide to me a foolproof list, an infallible list of all of the players who did take steroids and all of the ones who didn't, and the seasons that they played that might have been clean or dirty on either side, then you can't strike Barry Bonds from the record books. You can't strike Mark McGwire or Sammy Sosa or Jose Canseco or any one of these guys. Rafael Palmeiro, Brady Anderson. The list goes on and on. And it sucks that we have to make it a steroid argument. But these guys are a product of the time that they played in. To me, it's a continuation of that argument that they say, who was better, Jordan or LeBron? And then the old timers say, oh, none of them were better than Oscar Robertson. Well, Bill Russell's got the most NBA Finals champions. You know, the comparisons across eras, as happens in football all the time. Oh, you look at his stats, you know, Peyton Manning and Philip Rivers, they got better numbers than those. It's a different era. You have to judge people by how they performed against their peers during that time. Sure. Was Mark McGwire on steroids? Yes. There were probably guys in his team that were on steroids too. They didn't hit as many home runs. So I don't say that to diminish Aaron Judge's accomplishments. What I'm saying is that there's no way for us to say who those players were playing against and their use of steroids or not, how that relates to that level playing field. Were they always playing under the same rules and the same set of advantages and disadvantages? I have to say no, but beyond that, you can't make a judgment call on any of these guys individually. And if I have to be super strict about it, strike Mark McGwire from the record books. He admitted to it. Strike Sammy Sosa from the record books because he sucks the blood of people at night and can turn into a bat and sleeps in a water-filled coffin when the sun comes out. And strike Rafael Palmeiro from the record books. Strike A-Rod from the record books. All these guys that we know tested positive. Barry Bonds didn't test positive. His head size grew 3 times. And look at him in Pittsburgh. He was a little guy. And look at him in San Francisco. He was jacked. Now look, I'm no fool. But Barry Bonds was also doing this when he's 40-something years old. So you can't expect him to look the same when he's 24 in Pittsburgh. Number one. Number two, he was hitting home runs before then. Maybe not the preposterous numbers that he put up in San Francisco. But it's already a player that demonstrated that he was among the best, if not the best player in the game, period. If he was not being tested for it, and it was not against the rules, what rule did he break? It's unfair that he took steroids? How do you think Isaiah Kiner-Falefa feels because he's 5'9" and 160 pounds. Aaron Judge is 6'8" and probably weighs 285, they say. He could weigh 300 pounds. He is a monster. It's not fair. Well, that's just the way it is. Did Barry Bonds or these other guys artificially create their advantage by bulking up and juicing up and things like that? Perhaps. But it's all speculation until you point and say he broke this rule on this date and was caught by the league and handed down that punishment. It happened for Manny Ramirez 19 times. It happened for A-Rod. It happened for Robinson Cano. It's happened for guys that we looked at and said, these guys are lock Hall of Fame players or borderline Hall of Fame players. And their reputations have been tarnished and they may never get in. Roger Clemens falling victim to that himself. Mark McGwire, through his admission after wagging his finger at Congress and saying, mark my words, I didn't do it. And then later he's like, yeah, you got me. I mean, what the hell? I did it. Those guys will not be recognized in the Museum of Baseball, really, which is what the Hall of Fame is. It's not run by the league, technically. But the museum also has the statistics that happen in those seasons. BaseballReference.com, you could spend a lot of time and look at the numbers that these guys put it up. They did it. It's kind of strange to end on, you know, Steve's question here, that all those guys hit those home runs for the National League. But even that, to me, if it was clean, you know, Aaron Judge has the record for the American League. It's the same league these days. The Yankees play NL teams. They just played the Pirates like 2 weeks ago. They play the Mets. These guys all play these interleague games. What was once a novelty, next year is going to be even more balanced. And this year, both teams have the DH. The teams basically are playing all under the same rules. It's somewhat like football, the AFC and the NFC. It doesn't matter. The leagues don't matter. The divisions and who your rivals are, that just matters because, you know, that's how sports is. You have to have some group of teams to pit against one another in the standings to figure out who's going to make the playoffs, who's the best, and who gets the right to advance to play for a championship. So the AL record, oh, okay, you know, Maris's record for the single season record, that mattered more than maybe a Yankee record or an AL record, because it was the record for the whole sport. Aaron Judge doesn't have the record for the sport. Right now, he's just tied with another guy for the record on his team. And I want to be careful about that, because I think if you buy into that too much, that AL versus NL record matters in a sport that we still give out MVPs and Cy Young awards for the multiple leagues. Again, that's strange. They don't give out two MVPs in football. They don't give out two MVPs in basketball. They give out lots of different trophies for hockey, and it's cool, but essentially there is a most valuable player there too. Baseball has two. This whole AL and NL thing. It's one sport. It's one set of rules. Aaron Judge doesn't have the most number of home runs in baseball. Who has the most home runs in AL Central history? Not even on their team, just in that division. You know, these conferences aren't even 25 years old, or whatever the number was when they had that realignment. Where do you draw the line? He holds the record for most home runs in September. Was that a Don Mattingly thing, or, you know, the ridiculous stretch where he might have hit 14. I don't know if Pujols tied it. Now you're really going into the library in my brain. But you're slicing and dicing this stuff. Who has the most stolen bases on days that end in Y? Like, you know, it's a huge accomplishment. Players do not hit 61 home runs often. Aaron Judge is going to potentially win a triple crown with the most home runs ever. He's going to hit at least 10 more than Mickey Mantle when he did it in 1956. He had 52 home runs. Granted, Mickey Mantle had maybe 40 points more in his batting average. So you can slice and dice that too. So I'm not minimizing what Aaron Judge has done. It is literally a season for the ages. It's not an exaggeration. It's one of the best seasons ever. He's doing it playing center field while he weighs 300 pounds. He's throwing people out from all over the outfield. He's stealing bases. He's cut his whiff rate by 6%. He's not striking out as much. He's walking. And he's doing it while he has all the scrutiny of a team that went from best in baseball to, while maintaining their record, playing like the worst team in baseball, not having a contract for next season, and all the tumult that goes with playing in New York. Herculean. Not the MLB record. It's not even the record on his own team. So I could separate the two. That's incredible. But I saw the record. I saw a man hit, again, I think the 73 home runs. I remember where I was when he hit that one. I was at a Buffalo Wild Wings in Portchester after a softball game of my own where I did not hit a home run. But I saw it. I saw a man do it. So I'm hit most of them. Is it preposterous? Is there controversy around it? Yeah. But this is why I think all of those guys, if they put up those numbers for the most part, probably should be in the Hall of Fame. We don't have to honor these guys like being in the Hall of Fame for baseball is like being anointed to sainthood. We're talking about, like Aaron Judge himself said yesterday, I'm playing a kid's game. It's a game. Some of those guys, if not even many of those guys, to be fair, have charitable organizations and they take care of different causes and the less fortunate. So there's philanthropic people among them, but there's also some scoundrels. The Yankees have two people that had issues or were suspended for domestic abuse on their own team right now. So we're not running out there with pitchforks to say, get Domingo Germán off the team, get Aroldis Chapman off the team. Maybe for Chapman, but it's just because he couldn't throw strikes. If he was getting 45 saves a year, you think people would swallow their pride on that? For the high and mighty out there and the defenders of morality, remember what this is. These are people that are just like the rest of us. And in many cases, because they don't have the same burdens of they've got to stay home with a family life and work the 9-to-5 and grind it out. They're getting paid tons of money to travel all over the world. And in some instances, they're living a fantasy life. They don't have those same sort of, well, rules that keep them in check. And the good guys that have that strong morality, like Aaron Judge, we want to elevate them. I think maybe that's where Steve's going with his question here. I think that's where a lot of Yankee fans feel. In hindsight, Roger Maris losing his hair, all the stress of chasing that record in 1961, where Mickey Mantle was right there with him. And Mickey Mantle as the Yankee center fielder, that lineage, Joe D to Mickey Mantle, he should be the one. He's our guy. He's the one that's going to beat Babe Ruth's record. And he gets hurt, and now Roger Maris has got to deal with that crap. And Aaron Judge does it the right way, it seems. Keeps his mouth shut. Anytime he talks about, you know, people ask him, what does this record mean to you? What is that? Always makes it about team. You want him to be the record holder because he is someone that it seems like you could emulate. Doesn't get into trouble. Isn't beating up his wife. His mom is at the game. Seems like good, wholesome American fun. But this is the real world. And guys like Barry Bonds, if you're going to look at sports, are your hero. Am I waiting for him to talk to St. Peter and open up the pearly gates for me? Well, look, the guy may or may not have taken anabolic steroids. Does that make him evil? You can only look at the numbers. We're talking about performance, what we see, what we know, and what we could prove. Aaron Judge does not have even the AL record right now, anything other than tied. And he does not have the MLB home run record. Would it be so much easier, and would it be really good for MLB even to sweep the whole thing under the rug if Aaron Judge is somehow able to get to 74 or 75? It's not going to happen in the time he's got left. But I could tell you, I'm sure that there were some people in the league office with a New York Yankee and all the attention that Judge gets for a sport that lacks for national faces and ambassadors of the game. They still got guys like A-Rod, aforementioned, suspended by the league, can't get in the Hall of Fame, and Randy Johnson, him too, David Ortiz, and Ken Griffey Jr. doing DirecTV commercials dressed like the Ghostbusters. I mean, come on. They want him to get that record. He may not. Probably won't. I would want him to get it too. But he hasn't. Is he the best player in the Yankees? Clearly. Is he the best player in baseball this year? To me, clearly. Does he deserve MVP? Yes. Will he win the Triple Crown? Likely. Is he going to get this team through the postseason, over the hill, into a World Series against whoever the NL representative is? I sure as hell hope so. But he's not the home run record holder. Just the truth. It's just math. I know Steve, he's better than math than I am. Not to end on that sad note, again, This is a positive episode. This is a lot of fun. It's been a lot more cheery. I haven't really had to go deep and criticize anybody because all of that talk and all that worry, you know, we could talk before the season's wrapped up and that division trophy is won and say the Yankees are missing this and they're letting this go. Doesn't matter. I would say they pop the champagne. Mostly they're popping Budweiser's. They're popping Bud Heavies. That's the sponsor of baseball when you're in the locker room, spraying people with Budweiser. Maybe, you know, I was wondering if because they were in Toronto, they'd have to open up and start spraying Molson's or Labatt Blues on one another. Then it would be like Canadian bacon where John Candy's at the hockey game and says, "This beer sucks." Starts an all-out riot. Great movie if you haven't seen it. I'm looking forward to the Yankees in the postseason. I'm ecstatic that they're going to make it. I'm ecstatic that they did it as the division winners, and it's not a team with a $265 million payroll that's got to eke into the wild card round. I am enjoying and being really smug about the fact that the Yankees finished this season well with the Red Sox in last place. Love that the Orioles have some exciting young guys that they've called up and playing well. Gunnar Henderson, a treat to watch play. And I hope that that keeps the Red Sox in the basement for the next 4 or 5 years. Because knowing the cyclical nature of this thing, they'll finish in last place all those seasons and then win a World Series. So the Yankees gotta win one before the Red Sox have an opportunity to hang another banner in Fenway Park. Until then, we'll be back with another episode soon to talk about what this Yankees playoff roster is going to look like. We hope that they have better health for some of the guys coming back, whether that's DJ LeMahieu, again, Benintendi, or Carpenter, as unlikely as it might be for any combination of that three. The team was able to get the job done without them. It can only get better with reinforcements. So it's exciting. The playoff games are going to be lots of fun, and we're just glad that the pinstripes are going to be represented with that red, white, and blue bunting hanging around Yankee Stadium. So until next time, I'm Rob Macarello signing off with the Evil Empire Sports Podcast, and we'll catch you on the flip side. Take us out, DJ.